time you have walked into a very special Sunday here at Hoboken Grace. And as I've been saying all morning, you've also walked into the most dressed up Sunday at Hoboken Grace of the year. It's kind of a special day for us here. As a matter of fact, I only wear a suit jacket twice all year, and that's Easter and then today. That's it. And today's a special day because we get to celebrate our smallest family members. And we get to celebrate everything that God is teaching us through them and the beauty of this family that God has brought us to be a part of. And in just a little while, I'm going to invite the families to the stage who are going to be dedicating their little ones in this service. But before I do that, I want to take you to a passage just to reiterate and reinforce why it's so important what we're doing. And how we can learn not just from the people who are sitting next to us, but then also how we have the opportunity to learn from those who are a part of our kids program here at Hoboken Grace and the ones who are going to be on stage today. I want to take you to a passage found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 14, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this. He says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming." And as in the midst of this conversation with them, he begins to call them to, and he begins to identify a dream for them that they would be solid. He says, "Listen, I want for you to move past that stage where you're just being blown about." He says, like when you're an infant and it's so easy for you to be deceived, and it's so easy for you to buy into the lies that the world around you has to share with you. He says, "I want for you to move past that. I want for you to get to the point where you're solid." He says, "But in order for that to happen, right?" He says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." He says, in order for that to happen, he says, we need to transition into growth. We need to grow. We need to speak the truth into one another's lives so that we can grow up into the head who is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up into love as each part does its work. And so Paul, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Listen, I want for you to be solid." He says, "And so in order for that to happen, I want for you to embrace growth. I want for you to embrace growth together, not just as individuals, but together, understanding that if you are to grow well, you must grow together." And it's as we speak into one another's lives, as we speak truth into one another's lives, and as each of us does what we're called to do and step into this journey with Christ together, we're able to grow in really beautiful and powerful ways. And in this passage, he's calling us to something that I believe is one of the really beautiful things that we learn from the smallest members of our community. And even as you look at this passage, you see how Paul is calling us to grow together. And the reality that it's together that we grow well. Let me reiterate this last line here, right? It says, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." See, one of the beautiful things that Christ has invited us into is to be a part of what he calls a body, this thing called the church. And this thing called the church is not about individuals growing, it's about a community that grows together as we learn from each other. And the beautiful thing about the church is that there's no one piece, there's no one person, there's no one part of the body that's more important than the other. And as we come together as a church throughout scriptures, God is calling us to learn from each other and to grow together. And I think that includes even the smallest members of our community. And I think one of the beautiful things that the smallest members of our community teach us about this journey actually goes back to exactly what he's talking about in this passage. And it has to do with growth. It has to do with growth. And so when you look at this passage, it's interesting because Paul doesn't write to the Ephesians and says, "Listen, you need to be here." He doesn't write to them and say, listen, you need to stop going back and forth. You should be solid. He doesn't say that to them. He says, I want for you to experience this. And so therefore you need to grow. I need to grow together. And he calls them to do something that, to be honest with you, we don't do very well. And that is this. He calls them to embrace growth. Now, let me be clear about what I mean by this. He calls them to value growth and to look at the journey and to engage the journey valuing and embracing growth. Now, we don't typically do that. As a matter of fact, we typically look at the need for growth as a negative. We look at the process of growth as a negative. We look at it as something that we wish didn't exist. We almost look at it as if it's like part of our brokenness that we would have to grow. But it's interesting how God interacts with growth. Have you ever taken the time to think through the fact that God never creates anything that doesn't need to grow? Have you ever taken the time to think about that? God creates everything to grow. So he doesn't create anything complete. Even before the fall, even before sin comes into the picture, God creates things to grow. He creates things incomplete and then calls them to grow. And some people, when we talk about this, will bring up Adam and say, well, wait a second, didn't God create Adam as an adult? Yes, but Adam had a lot to learn. And God, even as he creates Adam, he puts him on a journey of learning and growing. God creates everything to grow. He looks at growth differently than you and I look at growth. We look at growth as a problem. God looks at growth as a good thing, a beautiful thing, something to actually embrace. And so even when he steps into your life and my life and calls us into a relationship with him, and Justin talked about this a little bit ago, how he invites us into this relationship with him where he's our father, even in that situation, he doesn't step in and say, I'm going to take care of all the problems and you'll be fine, just move forward from here. He doesn't say that. He says, no. I'm going to step into your life and I'm going to give you a new heart, and then I want for you to grow into what that looks like. I want you to grow. God values growth. He embraces it. He doesn't look at it as part of the brokenness and the fall. And part of our growth is overcoming our brokenness in certain ways and overcoming parts of the fall. But part of our growth is just the beauty of how God interacts with us and the beauty of how God wants for us to experience life, that we would grow. But again, we don't necessarily look at growth this way. This can really impact us as parents. And some of you are here, you're parents, and one of the things that can happen as parents is that rather than embracing growth, we just want our kids to be. We want our kids to achieve a certain level. We want them to know certain things. We want them to be certain things. My wife and I have this conversation with each other quite frequently. And so I'll be interacting with one of my kids, or she'll be interacting with one of our kids. And as we're interacting, the other person will come in and just kind of, hey, you realize, right, that he's 3. Okay, like you're interacting with him like he's 20. He's 3. And you need to change your expectations here. You need to embrace growth. You need to understand that they're not just going to be there. They're not just going to wake up one day and be there. They're not just going to know it. It's going to take time. And it's going to take a long time for them to learn and grow in certain things. And you need to embrace that. You need to value that. If you don't, it can lead to some really, really destructive things. Your child was not created to be an adult today. And that's not because of their brokenness. That's because of how God created them. He created them to have to grow, to learn. See, God values growth. It's a process that he's not interested in skipping. The same thing is true for you spiritually. But spiritually, again, we buy into this lie that we're supposed to be. Some of you have come to know Christ over the past couple months or even the past couple years, and you expect yourself to be mature today. Can I be honest with you? That is an unrealistic expectation. That is an unrealistic expectation. But the problem is, we think, no, I'm supposed to be. And even worse, we think that God says, no, you're just supposed to be. That's not what God says. As Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, he doesn't say, you're supposed to be. No. He says, this is where we're going. So here's what I want you to do. Embrace growth. So we're going to grow together. And we're going to learn, and we're going to take steps, and we're going to move forward together. Now, this is really important. It's really important because if you think you're just supposed to be, for those of you who are parents, if you interact with your kids like they're just supposed to be, you will actually stunt their growth, because rather than training and developing them well, you will become angry and frustrated. And you'll speak into their life in ways that are harmful. But when you embrace growth, you understand, okay, yeah, you're a 3-year-old kid. You're going to act this way. And so I'm going to need to discipline you. And I'm going to need to train you in certain ways. And I'm going to have to introduce certain things into your life. And there's a process that we're on. And you can help them grow in healthy ways. The same thing is true for you spiritually. If you just expect yourself to be someplace, for many of you, this is why you've walked away from church. And your friend invited you to come today because their child's being dedicated. And you just felt like you couldn't say no to that. So you're stuck here. And you're like, I can't wait for this thing to get over, but you're listening to it. Listen. One of the reasons why you walked away from church is because you were told that you were supposed to just be. And you're like, I can't just be. And you were told that God's angry with you or frustrated with you because you weren't that. That's not the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ comes in and says, listen, you're not that. And you're not going to be that overnight. So I'm going to give my life so that you can be forgiven and live in grace, and we can grow together. And as we grow together, you're going to come to know and experience all these amazing things about me. And you're going to know and understand me better as we grow together. You see, the church isn't supposed to be a place where people come together and show how perfect they are. That's not the dream of the church. The dream of the church is a bunch of people who come together and embrace growth together. That, you know what? I'm not where I haven't yet. I'm still working. I'm still moving. I'm still growing. And there's all these different areas that I can grow in. And then let's do that together. That's the beauty of what God is calling us into. But you have to value growth. You're not going to become mature overnight. And that's okay. That's okay. If you think that you're going to become mature overnight, you're going to become very, very frustrated. And you know what's going to happen then? You're going to stop growing. We grow together. Value growth. Understand, it's not something that happens individually. It's something that happens collectively in a community. Let me take you again back to the end of Ephesians 4, right? From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You have to value growth. Not only do you have to value growth, you have to enjoy growth. God calls us to enjoy growth. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Colossae in the book of Colossians. In Colossians 1, beginning in verse 3, it says this. It says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs up from the hope that is stored for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard and understood God's grace in all of its truth." Paul is enjoying watching the church grow. He's writing to them in the book of Colossians. He says, I'm enjoying watching you grow. I'm enjoying watching the church grow all over the place. It's growing. Does it have a long way to go? Yeah, it has a long way to go, but it doesn't matter. We're enjoying growth. One of the greatest gifts that my second son gave to my wife and I is the ability to enjoy growth. With my first son, we didn't enjoy growth at all because we had all these expectations of where he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to be doing. And we're reading all of these books and like, okay, at the age of one, they need to be doing this and they need to be doing that. And you need to make sure you have them in these workbooks and they need to know this. They need to be at this level. And at age two, this is where they need to be. And at age three, this is where they need to be. And then our second son was born. Our second son has Down syndrome. And we went in and said, okay, what are the expectations? And they said, well, he could start walking at the age of 2, or it could be the age of 15. You don't really know. And at first, it was super frustrating to us, but then it started to do this really beautiful thing in our lives. We were like, you just throw out the expectations. You don't know. And when this amazing thing happens when you throw out the expectations, you actually begin to enjoy growth. You begin to enjoy every step. And all of a sudden we began to, rather than it being, okay, what should he be? As we stepped into his life, it was just like, okay, how do we help him grow? And then each step, it was like, yeah, this is awesome. I can't believe he started doing that. And then it started impacting the way that we interact with our other kids, especially because you have all of what Cale went through. And then our next son, our third son, he comes along and we think he's a genius because Cale didn't start walking until he was 3. And then this kid can walk when he was 1. Right? You're supposed to walk when you're 1. But for us, it was great. It's like, oh my goodness, when you throw out the expectations, all of a sudden you can enjoy growth. When you throw out the I'm supposed to be, I should be, all of a sudden you get to enjoy growth. This happens to us spiritually as well. It happens to us spiritually. For some of you, you're growing and you're not enjoying it at all. You're not enjoying it at all because every step you take, all you do is just remind yourself of how far away you are of where you should be or where you're supposed to be or whatever expectation you have for yourself. And you know what's worse? We don't just do it to ourselves. We do it to the people around us. And so rather than enjoying their growth, rather than enjoying the steps that they're taking, we're constantly just pointing out how far they are of where we think they should be. And then we don't enjoy growing together at all. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Paul's writing to the church. He's like, man, this is awesome. I'm watching you guys grow. It's amazing. Let go of all of the expectation. Let go of that should be. The grace of Jesus Christ has freed us from all of that. And now we have a dream of where we're going. Yeah, we understand we don't want to stay in the same place, but we don't have to live with that should be. We just get to grow together and enjoy it. Enjoy growing together. This is one of the reasons why community is so important in growth, because oftentimes you don't see yourself growing. It's very difficult to see yourself growing. Community shines light on your growth because the people around you are able to speak into that and say, man, it's amazing. I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and he made a decision, and I looked at him and I said, you realize you never would have made that decision a year ago. You're a different person. It's amazing what God's doing in your life. It's awesome to see it. Community, one of the reasons why we celebrate and champion dinner groups over and over again is because it allows you to be surrounded by people who can speak into your life. It's one of the reasons why we encourage our groups once a month to be encouraging each other and speaking into each other's lives, where you're able to say, man, what you're doing, you didn't think like that. You did not think like that 6 months ago. You did not trust God that way. You did not understand God's love that way. Man, that is amazing. It's amazing what God's doing in your life. This is one of the reasons why journaling is so important. I don't know if you guys have ever practiced journaling before, but journaling helps you see your growth. It helps you enjoy growth. I've done this several times in my life where I'm journaling and I feel like I'm not growing at all. And then I go back and read my journal from a year ago and I'm like, man, I was an idiot a year ago. I'm still an idiot now, but not nearly as much of an idiot as I was a year ago. It's amazing. And you're able to enjoy growth. We need to embrace growth, value it, understand God doesn't do away with it. God, it's always a part of the plan for God. It's valuable and beautiful to Him. Embrace it. We need to enjoy it. Stop carrying around the pressure of should be, would be, and just enjoy the steps, big or small. Enjoy the steps. Enjoy the steps personally. Enjoy the steps in the lives of the people around us. And then number three, you need to celebrate growth. Listen to how Paul is celebrating the growth of the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and lightly so, because your faith is growing more and more in the love of every one of you. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. He's writing to them and he's celebrating their growth. You need to celebrate growth. But again, if you have that expectation, I should be, I would be, you're never going to take time to celebrate growth, because as soon as you take a step, it's just going to be, what's the next step supposed to be? And immediately you're moving on to the next thing. This can destroy us as parents. Because rather than celebrating growth, we're just constantly pushing them to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And rather than becoming our kids' fans, we become our kids' critics. And no one in the world needs another critic. God says, man, you need to celebrate growth. Celebrate growth. He's demonstrating it over and over again throughout the New Testament as he uses the writers of the New Testament to celebrate the growth of the churches. Celebrate growth. Parents, how are you celebrating growth in the lives of your kids? Are you creating time to do that? Are you identifying that, or are you always just moving on to the next thing? For us spiritually, are you taking time to celebrate your growth? One of the opportunities that I have locally is that I get the chance to be able to train church planter coaches for the New York metropolitan area. And as part of that, one of the things that we teach the coaches is that as they're working through strategies with these church planters is that they need to identify rewards for when they accomplish certain things, or when they grow in certain areas, or when they move forward in certain things. And we teach this over and over and over again. And we can, the crazy thing is, we can have them practice this 100 times. And as they come out of that, 99% of them always forget that step. Because it's so foreign to us, this idea of celebrating. But you need to celebrate growth. Do you take the time to celebrate it when you take a step of growth? Do you celebrate it in the lives of the people around you? It's so important. Right now in my life, the thing that I celebrate more than anything else, the place in my life and the thing that I give more high fives for than anything else is when someone goes to the bathroom in the toilet. It's insane. My second son, again, he has a very, very difficult time with this. And so for some reason, he's decided that I'm the only person that he'll go to the bathroom with, which my wife appreciates greatly. But either way, right now, I mean, he goes to the bathroom and we are jumping around and dancing in that bathroom. And we've taught him, I taught him how to be able to say, I'm the man. And I'll be like, who's the man? I'm the man. Who's the man? I'm the man. Who's the man? I'm the man. And we're just celebrating it. And you look at that, he's 5 years old. He's 5 years old. Most kids are potty trained much, much earlier than that. But for us, we throw out the expectation. It doesn't matter. We're just celebrating growth with everything that we have, every opportunity that we get. Big step, small step, it doesn't matter what it is. We're going to celebrate growth. How are you celebrating growth? Have you bought into the lie that God's not celebrating your growth? Some of you have. You've bought into the lie that God's just this taskmaster. It's just more and more and more and more. It's not Jesus. It's not Jesus. Jesus is constantly celebrating growth. He's championing people's faith. Some of you are taking steps and you just feel like you're so far behind. Jesus, listen, God is celebrating your growth. He's excited about what's happening and he doesn't expect you to be there tomorrow. He doesn't. He calls us to come together and together to decide, not that we're going to be there tomorrow, but together to decide, to embrace, to enjoy, and to celebrate growth. It's not about where we're supposed to be. It's just about continuing to take steps day after day, not individually, together, so that we in all things might grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What if growth isn't a bad thing? What if it's in growth that God wants us to actually learn who he truly is? What if he doesn't look at it the way we do? Let's embrace growth. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at the beauty of how you've created us, as we see these little ones today, and we see the beauty of how you've created us in every aspect to grow, as we look at the truth that spiritually you don't step into our lives when we step into a relationship with you and immediately bring us to maturity, you call us to growth. As we look at the truth of how you move and work, Father, I pray that that would challenge how we view growth. I pray that we would begin to, in faith, embrace it as you have. And Father, I pray that we would begin, as you've demonstrated through your word, that we would begin to not just embrace it, but to value it, to enjoy it, and to celebrate it. I pray for those who are here who've been told lies about you, that you're a God who just demands more and more and more, a God who doesn't celebrate, a God who expects us to be, as opposed to a God who walks with us in growth. Father, I pray that those lies would be broken down today, that they would see the beauty of how you love them, the beauty of how you've created them, the beauty of how you move in this world in grace. And Father, I pray that we would be a people who embrace growth, that we would grow together into the beauty of what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As the families make their way to the stage today, I want to give you a chance to be able to meet those who are being dedicated. So would you guys check out this video?
Good morning, you in the sun.